This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1916. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition recorded February 6th, Australia, Bonaire, Bougainville, Bouvet, Brazil, China, Cuba, Egypt, Ethiopia, France, India, Indonesia, Korea North, Korea South, Kurdistan, New Zealand, Nigeria, Papua New Guinea, South Carolina, Taiwan, UK, USA, Vatican, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Mike Cooper sends a story from the Centralian Advocate, Alice Springs, Australia. February 2nd headlined, Loss of Service, Big Blow, by David Lorney. It's been a year since the ABC scrapped their shortwave radio service, but some rural Centralians still feel abandoned by the move, which has limited their access to emergency warnings. The shortwave service allowed bush residents to easily tune into ABC radio when they were on the move in rural areas. After nearly a century of service, it was removed, and the funds saved from the cut were reinvested in digital radio. David Hewitt, who has worked in remote communities for 5 decades, said people in rural NT were still missing shortwave. He said it's certainly been missed by a lot of people who depend on that medium for receiving weather information and road condition reports. It was used by people in stock camps and road construction camps, as well as tourists just traveling around. He said the replacement digital service had been little use for bush residents. It's not worked. They promised us a vast communication system, but this works through satellites, and you had to have a fixed dish. For someone traveling around the bush or working on a tractor all day, that was useless. Mr. Hewitt said he'd recently been driving through the country and had spent 4 days without a weather report in the middle of wet season. He said, I saw the storm clouds coming in and knew ABC radio would be giving reports. But even though my car had a radio, we just didn't know what was going on. As we mentioned last week, Transworld Radio Bonaire did activate their new 440, not 450 kilowatt transmitter on 800 kilohertz January 30th, but they're only using it part of the time. Since then, a lot of people have been trying to hear it somewhat successfully, and there's been rather contradictory info, or at least incomplete info, coming out of different parts of Transworld Radio. But here is some of the detailed info we have received. Mauno Ritola of WRTH says they are using only 100 kilowatts non-directional between 05 and 08 UT. 440 is between midnight and 03 toward Cuba. Tim Hendel in Huntsville, Alabama has been trying for it, but says nothing heard as of February 5th. I usually check sometime between 01 and 03 UT. I believe I did hear it in Oklahoma, where it has interference from the Oklahoma City station, of course, but I was hearing something in Spanish mixing with it, mentioning Havana and Dios, so it was probably PJB rather than XEROK in Ciudad Juarez, which is no longer a canon, but obviously running on much reduced power. This was February 3rd at 01:26. The thing is, when I null Oklahoma City, I normally hear CKLW in Windsor. But on this occasion, the Spanish station was overcoming it. Ben Dawson of Hatfield Dawson Consulting Engineers says, consulting ITU data, the maxima of the antenna are substantially greater than omnidirectional from a single tower would be. At 325 degrees true, for example, the field strength value is almost twice the listed omnidirectional value, or equivalent to nearly 2 megawatts. What this means internationally is that some stations which have not experienced relatively high levels of co-channel interference in the past have just been beneficiaries of chance. Anti-TWR is on a list, which means that U.S. stations do not include it in their computations of nighttime interfering signals. Pete Taylor in Tacoma reports to NRC, when in doubt, contact the source. I wrote the station, and here is the reply from Dave Peterson of TWR Bonaire. We commissioned the new 440 kilowatt transmitter last week. While we broadcast to the Northwest from midnight to 03 UT, our beam is centered on Havana and not the USA. I would be very surprised if our signal makes it at appreciable strength across the western USA, not our ministry focus. The antenna was not optimized for good coverage into the USA. The station also uses a Caribbean pattern at 225 kilowatts and a southern pattern beaming southeast across Venezuela to northern Brazil. The southeast pattern transmissions vary in power from 50 to 440 kilowatts, depending how far the distance is to the intended audience. The original tower from the mid-60s was a 5/8 wave compared to the 4/3/8 wave towers we have since 1999. The old tower had a lower angle of radiation than the newer ones, so we do not expect the same range that was sometimes reported on the old antenna system. Ron Howard on the California coast keeps monitoring 3325 for NBC Bougainville, PNG, and RRI Palangkaraya, Indonesia. As for Bougainville, he says on January 31st, it's not on the air every day, but that day it cut off suddenly at 11:39. On February 3rd, it lasted until 11:45. On February 4th, until 11:56. February 5th, all the way until 1200. And he's also checking NBC Madang 3260, the only other active Papua New Guinea station. And here's what he says about it. It was off the air on February 3rd and 4th and 5th, but back on February 6th until off at 1211. In case you haven't heard, the much-publicized Bouvet Island HAM-D expedition had to be aborted. This announcement came over February 3rd at 2000 UT. According to their website, for the past 72 hours, we continue to experience high winds, low clouds, fog, and rough seas that prevented helicopter operation since our arrival at Bouvet. No improvement was predicted in the forecast for the next 4 days, and then an issue developed in one of the ship's engines. So the captain declared it unsafe to continue with the project and aborted the de-expedition. We are now on our long voyage back to Punta Arenas. As you might imagine, the team is deeply disappointed, but safe. There's already talk about rescheduling the de-expedition. Last week we had an item with some skepticism that Radio Itatiaia, Belo Horizonte, Brazil, had been heard reactivated on 5970. However, Ben Dawson of Hatfield Dawson says, since I did much of the design and implementation of their medium wave operation, I was curious if that report was valid. This answer came from the head of the engineering services firm we work with on the project, who is in a position to know the facts. Carlos tells him, Benjamin, despite many complaints from remote listeners, Radio Itatiaia is no longer broadcasting on 5970. About Beibu Bay Radio 5050 in China, Ron Howard in California says, heard February 4th at 1510. On Saturday and Sunday, they repeat shows from earlier in the week. This was a repeat of the February 1st show I heard from 1500 to 1525 in both English and Chinese with pop songs in English. They also had a brief segment about business in English at 1232. José Ronaldo Xavier in Paraíba, Brazil, says China is colliding with itself. On 7385, the French service of CRI is heard at 19 UT, relayed via Albania, but also the Albanian service of CRI is on the same frequency via Kashgar, East Turkestan. Almost every morning I check sometime between 14 and 16 UT and find 10 or 12 spur blobs in the FM mode from Radio Havana, Cuba, all over the 19-meter band. However, on February 6th, they failed to appear, so that proves they do not have to be there. On January 31st, Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria reported Radio Cairo, Egypt, on 9570. Instead of 9900 for French at 20 UT and English at 2115 to 2245. That is, those languages would be on the air if there were any modulation. Apparently they failed to change frequency from 9570, which intentionally carries German from 19 until 20. By February 4th, English was back on almost the proper frequency, 9899.6 at 2115 with fair modulation. Here's another collision. Ivo Ivanov reports on 5940. The Somali Regional Service from Ethiopia. He heard from 1947, but the transmission was extended until 22 UT, February 1st. Unfortunately, the Algerian relay via France is already on there, 5940 between 2000 and 2158. The first hour with the Quran program, the second hour with National Program 1. Roberto Scaglione via Mike Terry reports the next transmission of Studio 52 on shortwave for Europe will be February 9th, 15 to 16 UT via France on 5970. Last week we reported that the All India Radio regional station with the best signal was Jaipur on 5040. Kim Elliott in Virginia replies, in the job market, they might be hiring. It seems they're considerably understaffed. They have three transmitters, 50 kilowatt shortwave, 100 kilowatt medium wave, and 1 kilowatt on FM. Many of the departments are vacant, like there's a need of one station director, 14 transmitter executives, 8 musicians, 2 composers, and 2 assistant station directors. That came from the DailyPioneer.com. Ron Howard in California reports on the other 3325 station, which is now the only active Indonesian on shortwave. Program 1, RRI Palangkaraya. January 30th, it was heard past 1443 UT with songs by Paul McCartney, Stevie Wonder, Billy Joel, Diana Ross, Lionel Richie in Bahasa Indonesia. One of them was 1504 and ID, an ad for iPhone. Fair reception. In case you'd like to hear how the North Koreans are reporting on the Olympics, I cannot think of a better reason to provide the English language schedule of Voice of Korea. This is the current B-17 one as compiled by Arnulf Piontek in Berlin via Wolfgang Büschel. All broadcasts are a bit less than 1 hour long at 0430-7220-9445-9730. 11735-13760-15180. At 0530, 13650 and 15105. At 630, 7140-9445-9730. At 1030, 6170 and 9435, 6185 and 9850. 1330, 9435 and 11710, 7570 and 12015. 1530, 9435, 11710, 7570 and 12015. 1630, 9890, 11645. 1830, 7570, 12015. 1930, 7210, 11910, 9875, 11635. 2130, 7570, 12015. Via Juan Franco Crespo, Spain, the FEBC newsletter says, pray for land that has been gifted to FEBC in South Korea. It's in just the right place where we can build a radio station so powerful that our broadcast will be heard across the entire country of North Korea. This outreach is incredibly ambitious, and we estimate our costs will surpass $1 megadollar over the next year. We ask that you pray that we can break ground and get the radio tower started. Well, I'm wondering, since FEBC already has 2 long-established high-power medium wave stations in South Korea, that is on 1188 and 1566, what's wrong with them? Why do they need another one, and why don't they say anything about the ones they already have? Well, the HLKX transmitter site has been increasingly compromised by urban development in the area surrounding it, so FEBC Korea have been searching for a new site for several years. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, 1916. Also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com. and the non-commercial weekly publication online, DX Listening Digest. Our thanks this week for financial support from Robert Zerilli, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. He says, "You make SWL more fun and always informative." And before getting back to the alphabet, here's something else from one of our listeners. It's from Fred Jodry in New Rochelle, New York. He says, "I've been battling cancer for a little more than a year. I'm away from a receiver. Sometimes I get to do something related, like copying circuit diagrams, but I never get to listen to Marion's Attic, your show, or Alan Weiner Worldwide, or the Ham Bands. If someone is willing to go pen-palling, I'm willing to write back. Of course, if someone has a battery or small shortwave to donate, that would connect me directly." Here's his address: Fred Jodry, J-O-D-R-Y, Sutton Park, S-U-T-T-O-N, 31 Lockwood Avenue, apartment 405, New Rochelle, New York, 10801. It seems the station we've been referring to as Dengue Kurdistani changed its name a few months ago. Thanks to Kai Ludwig for this. He says, "An observation to be credited to Alexander Busniag. Dengue Kurdistani no longer exists. It's been renamed Dengue Welat, W-E-L-A-T, effective 1 October. So, together with a complete change of transmission arrangement, they simply pulled the plug on their old dengue-kurdistani.com website. The new one so far contains a live stream only. It is dengue-welat.org. I checked it and it was also going at 0205 UT February 5th before their shortwave broadcast started." He says, "What remained unchanged is the Hotbird satellite transmission arrangement. It reminds me of the previous Dengue Mesopotamia change to Dengue Kurdistania metamorphosis in 2012, in which they also changed the shortwave frequency, but left the Hotbird transmission untouched. Back then it was the result of the closure of ROJ-TV. Now they had been attached to Swedish-licensed New Ros TV, which closed down last year for completely unclear reasons. It seems the relaunch of the radio service was related to this." Well, the name Dengue Welat, according to Google Translation, means something like the voice of the country. As we mentioned before, it now broadcasts via Armenia. Ivo Ivanov has part of the schedule as observed, heard from 11 UT on 7520 with a very good signal on February 2nd. On February 3rd, he says it started, or he, at least he was hearing it from 1616 on 7320 and medium wave 1395. February 5th at 1427, I found that Radio New Zealand was missing from 7390. So I started searching for it on other frequencies on the 5, 6, 7, and 9 megahertz bands, and finally found it when I got up to 9890 at 1441. A relatively poor signal, but it was certainly New Zealand, with news on the following hour. So what's it doing on 9890? Well, that's the latest frequency for the previous segment, supposed to end at 13 UT. So they failed to make the frequency change. The next day, they were back where they were supposed to be on 7390, but there was still a barely audible carrier on 9890, which must have been the listed station in China. Radio Herwa International, the target broadcast for Nigeria, transmitted by WRMI, had been reliable at 1930 to 20 UT on 11530. And it was heard on February 2nd, but it was missing on Saturday and Sunday, February 3rd and 4th, so perhaps that was intentional. Is it a Monday through Friday broadcast only? It was indeed back on the air February 5th and 6th, Monday and Tuesday. We never hear any English from that one, but another unrelated Nigerian clandestine, the so-called Radio Nigeria Hausa service at 16 to 17 UT on 15110 via Bulgaria, does have some English. Richard Langley in New Brunswick reports, "The first approximately 10 minutes of the Sunday, January 21st broadcast, had a discussion or interview with an echo like a poor internet Skype connection in English. No signature tune starting the broadcast. In fact, it started in mid-sentence. During English, they mentioned the incorrect time of the broadcast and concluded with handing you over to our radio station. Then the signature tune began, followed by the usual house of programming. And on another occasion, there was a brief English segment in the second half hour. That was Wednesday, January 31st. Those who can stand to listen to Brother Stare say that since he got out of jail, he apparently has resumed some new broadcasts on the station still carrying him, notably WWCR. Harold Froge in Michigan reports this January 30th at 2331 on 5935. Brother Hysterical, the recently incarcerated Overfondler, said he was in the pits of hell for 31 days and talked about his iniquities, going astray, and repenting his sins. Sounded like he's rationalized it all away. It was very low-key for the usually bombastic BS. In the MARE tip sheet, Ken Zicke in Michigan reports hearing him on Galaxy 19, 97 degrees west. The Overcomer Ministry with a current Brother Snare talking about this is the end times and his recent tribulation, which he can't seem to pronounce correctly, saying that for 31 days I've been isolated. He only had God to talk to, and that now God has restored him a limited voice. His ranting is a bit disjointed, as if the recent incarceration has thrown him a bit, and he broke for some recorded music before back to ranting. Obviously, he's made bail and accepted the conditions, including no contact with anyone under 18, electronic tether, forfeiting his passport, and having no contact with the victims. Apparently, he was not released immediately because they had to work out the details of his tether, but he got out on Thursday and was in the radio room by Saturday. Ken Zicke was hearing this and writing about it on January 27th. Jean-Michel Aubier in France tells us the French team of Radio Taiwan International has announced the end of shortwave transmissions from March 25th. They did not say if this would affect other languages, but it seems French and Spanish will be affected. Sean Farrer in New York replies, seems like they've been downsizing for years. A 2013 article from Epoch Times talked about this. It could be a continuation. You can always check the websites of each language service to see if they say anything more about schedule changes. We're sad to learn that Tom Taylor has died. There have been many tributes to him already. On behalf of the FRS team, Peter Verbruggen wrote, with great sadness, we report the death of European Music Radio's founder and shortwave legend, Tom Taylor, to many also known as Barry Stevens. For many dedicated shortwave free radio enthusiasts, EMR was the station in the late 70s and 1980. Bruce Churchill in California says he was indeed a legend in European broadcasting, and I was personally appreciative of his heads-up emails for upcoming weekend pirate and free radio schedules. Tom was always prompt in replying to my questions about EMR and related broadcasters. We know he had cancer, but was hoping to recover enough to resume broadcasting this year. In the British DX Club, Mike Barraclough says Herbert Visser will be dedicating the next third Sunday shortwave broadcast, 6070 at 08 to 9 UT, February 18th, to European Music Radio and Tom Taylor. On FB, Mark Stafford said this will go out via a high-power shortwave relay, presumably meaning Austria. We have so far guaranteed contributions from many people from the radio world who knew Tom well and worked with him or were fellow pirate radio operators. KQV 1410 Pittsburgh to be resurrected. Application to Diplex Tower on the one for 810 in McKeesport, Pennsylvania, says a RadioInsight.com story via Artie Bigley. And this from TribLive.com via Richard Langley. It's coming back. The husband and wife team who just bought Pittsburgh's oldest news radio station aims to get KQV back on the airwaves this fall, hoping to keep the all-news format. We recently noted that the Vatican relay via VOA Greenville violating separation of church and state in Spanish had been chopped to 15 minutes instead of 45, starting at 01:45 UT on 7305. But what about the morning broadcast, half an hour at 12:30? Well, on February 2nd, I tuned 9610 and found that it too had been chopped to only 15 minutes, cutting it off abruptly at 12:45. I mentioned last week that ZNBC One Zambia had reactivated 5915, starting with their Fish Eagle Interval signal at 0241. However, they've not been on the air every morning. Ron Howard reported it was missing on February 3rd, and Bill Bingham in South Africa said it was still missing the morning of February 5th. But Torsten Hamann in Germany and Bill Bingham in South Africa found it had returned to the air by the local evening of February 5th, including news in English at 1800 on 5915. February 5th at 04:43, I heard something new on 6175, good signal in an African language, and reeling off a bunch of frequencies pronounced more or less in English. It's the Voice of America service for Zimbabwe at 04:05, now via Botswana on 6175, and also listed on São Tomé 9825. It's Monday through Friday only in Shona, Ndebele, and English. For the past week or so, I've been detecting lots of transatlantic, just barely audible medium-wave carriers on 9 kHz spacing when I tune around 07 UT, but here they're too weak to pull any audio. Ben Cobb of IEEE sends an FCC notice about something which is rather astounding. It even sounds like science fiction. If it's true, we can only wonder what kind of RF interference it might produce everywhere. What are we talking about? Wireless power transmission. An experiment has been authorized by the FCC for an experimental station, call sign WJ2XGB, on the 1710 to 1900 kHz band by Texzon Wireless Power System. That's TEXZON. Location is near Dallas, Texas. You can read more about what they think they can develop at www.texzontechnologies.com. This license is to run until January 17, 2020, and they already have a experimental special temporary authority with a different call sign, WL9XKQ, neither of which I suspect we're ever going to hear on the air if we pick up the transmissions. Here's how they summarize it. Our Texzon wireless power system allows the Earth itself to be used for clean, safe, and efficient transfer of power between any two points on the globe wirelessly. The system represents a paradigm shift in the science of electromagnetics. Their presentation does say they think it will be non-radiating, but the RF power necessary will not exceed 50 kilowatts at 1710 kilohertz. The propagation outlet from Boulder, geomagnetic field, mostly quiet to unsettled, isolated active periods likely February 16th, with ANK indices peaking at 12 and 4. Lesser peaks of 10 and 3 on February 18th and 21st, otherwise only 5 and 2 or 8 and 3. Solar flux at 70 until February 23rd, dropping to 69. And so concludes another edition of World of Radio number 1916. Glenn Hauser, hoping you'll hear me again next week.